Mr. Leary, reel 10.
Now, how did it come about that you became involved in the Antwerp expedition?
Well, just after war had broke out, there were six of us second-class stokers on Ronaldo, and we got recalled to barracks. So back onto barracks we went. Oh, what a time. Crowded. This was Fleet Reserve men that had been recalled, and believe me, you could hardly move about in that barracks. You could, unless you was on top line, you couldn't even hang your hammock up. As the night time, there was lay on the mess deck tables, on the floor. Oh, it was absolutely crammed out. Well, we was in there just a few weeks, and it was early in September, this is 1914, after war's declared. We had, it was made known in the barracks by loudspeaker, etc., that there was going to be a Royal Naval Brigade formed for service abroad, and everybody had to fall in the drill shed on the following morning at 8 o'clock. So everybody fell in, and there was the commodore of the barracks and two or three four-ring blokes and officers all stood together. And we had instructions that all them that was willing to volunteer for this Royal Naval Brigade to fall out on the right. Well, anything to get out of barracks. I was one of the ones that volunteered, like many hundreds more. We then had orders to walk past these officers smartly, but not like marching, just walk past them casually. And we go walking past them, and every now and again, one of the officers would tap you on the shoulder, fall out on the right. So you was picked out that way for the Royal Naval Brigade. They'd perhaps pick one out in four or something like that. And that is the commencement of the Royal Naval Brigade. So after about, after a few weeks, we was always known then as people of the Royal Naval Brigade. We had orders to fall in at a certain time. I remember quite well, it was on a Saturday morning, and we had orders to fall in at about 1 o'clock with our hammocks and all our gear packed up, and we all had to fall in the drill shed.
Before this particular Saturday, the few weeks that had elapsed since you had been chosen... That's a few days now, is it?
Yes.
During the few days between being selected and actually going off on this particular Saturday morning, what were you doing? Were you training?
Oh, no, we'd finished all our training, you know. We'd finished our training, and we was excused all duties, but you couldn't go ashore. You were standing by for draft or emergency call all the time.
So you were just waiting?
We was just waiting.
Okay.
Waiting for the happy day to get out of barracks.
So Saturday morning arrived.
So on the Saturday morning, we had orders. We had to fall in with everything packed up. Our hammocks, our kit bag all filled up, and every mortal thing we possessed had to come out with us out of the barracks and fall in. I think it was about 1 o'clock or something like that, outside of the regulating office. And from there, we was taken down to a small railway station. They had in the barracks. And there was a train waiting there, a special train, and we had to get into the train. Well, we got in the train, we didn't know what was doing or where we was going. It was like Secret Service sort of thing. And from there, we went to Sheerness. There was a small naval establishment on Sheerness, and we stayed there for maybe a couple of weeks. And from there, we went to a place called Betty's Anger. It was close to Deal in Kent, not a great way from Dover. Well, we was under canvas there, and same old thing. We'd perhaps go on a bit of a route march, or very little doing, and was just hanging on, waiting for orders.
Had you heard anything about Antwerp at this
stage? Oh, no, we didn't know what was doing at all. It was just like wasting your time away. Well, then we had orders for one Sunday morning. We all had to fall in, and we went then marching to, it must have been Dover. We walked down, all our gear and everything was sent down by transport. Well, we boarded a ship there, our ships, and we didn't know where we was going then. There was the light cross channel boats, and we found ourselves at Dunkirk.
Can I just ask you a question here? Had you by this time been organised into battalions?
Into a battalion?
Into battalions, yes.
Yes.
Where did that happen, and how did it happen?
It happened round about the time we'd got to Sheerness, and the battalion I was in was the Anson Battalion. I think it was C Company. And that was mostly from people from Kiam, was the Anson Battalion. But mind you, up to then, we was all trained men that was in it.
When you were formed into these battalions, were you given any particular kind of markings, any kind of badges or
oh, no, we was given no markings or anything like that. But, of course, you know, we'd all been under, we'd all done our gunnery practice and all like that. As a matter of fact, I'd been on the revolver course and the rifle course, and I had my account was 82 out of a possible 100.
So what?
And marked on my papers VG.
So what happened from Dunkirk?
Well, when we got to Dunkirk, we had to get on a train. And we didn't know where we was going then. Until eventually, in the following afternoon, we arrived in the late evening at Antwerp. There was a few people knocking about, and, you know, here comes the British, little flags out, cheering us on. Now, we'd been issued, up to then, we had only our own naval uniform. Our naval uniform and our hammock and personal belongings, all fetched with us to Antwerp. But then we was issued with a khaki great coat. We went, they took us by transport to the Botanical Gardens in Antwerp, and there we was told we could open our hammocks on the floor, and just all got nicely dozed off and to sleep, and we was ordered to up, roll your hammocks up. We couldn't lash them up because we hadn't got them slung up. We rolled the hammocks up, and we was told that the transport had picked them up. So, with our great coat on, our leggings stuck down by our gaiter, our bayonet stuck down by our gaiters, off we go. The transport took us part ways, and then we got off the transport and went to some trenches, long trenches in between the Belgian forts that was well out the other side of Antwerp, across the River Scalp, I think it is, the River Scalp there, a big wide river. And In front of these trenches, there was, barbed wire for, I don't know, nearly a quarter of a mile, all barbed wire, all strung out in between these here forts and in front of the trenches. We was there some time. All we had then was a greatcoat, one blanket, and just our naval uniform, a gun, and the bayonet. And they issued us then with live ammunition, which we had to put in our greatcoat pockets, as we had no pouches or anything like that, or any web equipment. And we're in these trenches for maybe a week, fortnight or so. But I'd volunteered to be a cook of the company, as we picked so many. And just after we went into these trenches, it was through a big farm, and there was a big farmhouse at the back. So the officer said to me and one or two more that had been chosen as cook, well, you best come back and see what you can find out at the farmhouse, see if there's anything where you can cook and do things like that. So we sneaked off to this farmhouse, and they was very pleased to see us and all like that, and made ourselves known and had a look round, and then shoved off back and told the officer they no use cooking there, they're just a family of them there. So a couple of days after, in the night, we used to go and like stay in the trenches all night, the cooks and everything, and during the night time there was a bit of a scare on, and a couple of these guns at the forts opened up firing, you know. And, of course, that set the rifle fire off, and there was, you know, a bit of a scare off. And then they ought to come along the line, cease firing, and everything stopped. And, of course, in these forts had been there God knows how many years, because we found out the next morning two of the guns in one of the forts had blown out and even killed some of the gunners that was manning them. Anyhow, that following night, or following day after the firing, we went back to the farmhouse, and we said, about the shooting, frightened. Oh, no, no, they weren't frightened. Oh, no, no. We was in trenches again like that night, and they opened up firing again, and it was these guns blazing away and the rifles blazing away, and I don't think anyone knew what they was firing at. They was just shooting. So it ceased firing, and the next morning, being like a kook, I could wander about a bit in the rear. And I went round to the farmhouse, and everybody had gone. The farmhouse was deserted. We went inside the drawers, like from the kitchen where they kept bits and things, and the bedroom was all opened, and you could see they'd gathered things quickly, and they'd gone. There was a lot of cattle there tied up in the stalls, and ends and that. So we thought, let these poor devils out. It's no use of leaving them here tied up. So we let them out and go where they wanted. And we had a good look there and lit a fire and kind of made ourselves handy in the house, sort of thing, bit of comfort. We asked the officer, could we sleep there that night? And he wouldn't let us sleep there. He said, no, we'd have to come back to the trenches overnight. Well, we stayed in them trenches for it might have been a week after. And know, you used to never see anybody in front of these trenches going along like people, although there was one kind of a gateway near one of these forts where anyone could get in or out, you know, like past the barbed wire. Well, after about a week, it had maybe, I know it was pitch dark, we had orders that we was going to retire to trenches further in the rear, as they'd fetched some artillery up on our rear and they wanted to get the range of these trenches that we'd occupied. And we had to keep in close touch with one another and go back until we thought we was going to get trenches in the rear. Well, we went walking across, straddling sort of thing, until over the fields, until we come to a bit of an old-made sandy road. And we was told that we'd got guides to lead us right back into Antwerp. But this afternoon, as I'm talking about, in the afternoon, German bombers had been over and dropped bombs into Antwerp, and there was big storage tanks there, and these storage tanks was all smoke rising up from them, and you know, they'd been giving Antwerp a bit of a peppering with the bombs. Any road, we was going along this here sandy road, going along, I don't know how far we went, but we went a good way, and all of a sudden we heard, cavalry charging behind us, horses coming along. Well, we all nipped over the edges each side, laid flat down to see what was what, to hear what was what. And any road, we waited there some time, and we got all disorganized then, and we gradually, in twos and threes, got back onto this main road again. And I found out, in the scattering over the edges, I'd lost me bayonet. No bayonet. Of course, we had them stuck down by our gaiters.